I'm that way as the pastor, then what can people be like in a church? God puts things on people's hearts. He asks us to do things that can be above and beyond where we're at, and we can brush it off, and that's not a good place to be. So, because we need to be in certain places, and that's the word that I got, was the places. God wants us in places in our life as far as relationships, as far as serving, as far as all the areas of life, our attitude, so many. So I think what I'm going to start with is just over in that, I shared this at the leaders meeting yesterday, but over in Luke 22, if you want to turn over there. Lord, I thank you for the entrance of your word that does bring light. Lord, that we can be challenged, that iron does sharpen iron. Can we be in a place, maybe this is the best way to say it, are you in a place that you can say to God, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever it is. Without getting reasoning yourself out of it, then when God gives you what he has for you to do. Luke 22:15, I'll just start there. Jesus is prepared, he's about to go to the cross. In Luke 22:15, he says this statement. He said to him, with fervent desire, this is New King James, that with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And I'll just stop right there. He knows where he's going, and it describes it. Now jump up a few verses. In verse 18, it says, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And, you know, we have a bunch of Galileans in Jerusalem. They're from the northern side of Israel. They're a bunch of country boys. They come from the country. And they're basically in the equivalent of New York City. They are not used to where they're at. What does Jesus tell them to do? Go prepare. And their response, well, what do you want us to prepare? Verse 10, and he said to him, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house at which he enters, and then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. So they went and found it, just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, in our culture, it's not all that unusual, and you've probably already been taught all this anyway, but, you know, men don't carry pitchers in this culture. It's the women who carry the pitchers. So something very supernatural. First, Jesus is giving that leading, foreknowledge, and then the fact when they walked in, they did find the man. Obviously, he stood out. It was very apparent in this New York City that they're in, these old country boys. New York City, there's a guy carrying a pitcher, and the things that God provided for him and what he'll provide for us is a connection. And that's when Park Rapids Church, you guys are all a part of that. Now, you're not up there and experiencing it, but you guys are all a part of people being touched and lives being changed. I moved up to 1997, 96. Let's see how many years do I want to back up here. 1995, the Lord spoke to me. About moving north. We were in Sleepy Eye and moving north. My parents were up. My grandma was up there. Lori's parents were up there. And it's always been my desire. And I thought, well, maybe it's just my desire. Then all of a sudden the desire got bigger than me. And I recognized I can't push this thing out. And God just told me, he said, you delight yourself in me, I give you the desires of your heart. So in other words, you'll put things in your heart, you start to desire. And what does desire cause you to do? Seek after. And so I recognized that I came home one day from work and I said, we had a great church, associate pastor there, loved what we're doing, very rooted there. And it's like, I can't push this desire out. It's bigger than me. So we drove up there thinking we're going to move to Park Rapids. My wife and I went and saw my grandma. We drove through town, looked at houses, and we both had the major case of the stinky dish rakes, yuckies inside. We just thought we'd really missed it. And so I'm driving out of town, tail between my legs, get down to Audina, and the Lord spoke up and he said, no, you're not moving to Park Rapids. You're moving to Detroit Lakes. You're going to go to church in Vergas, and you're going to see the church in Park Rapids. I thought, well, that's pretty wild. But I knew. I mean, it was very clear. It was very obviously the Lord speaking inside of me. And so we did. It all happened. It was so supernatural how that all happened. God gave me in a job that, I could go down that rabbit trail, but I won't. It was really supernatural how it all worked. I got a job in Detroit Lakes. We moved up there, started going to Vergas, and then I sat and waited. What about Park Rapids? And what I was looking for was really that guy carrying the water pitcher, because it was supernatural. All Supernatural is a guy that God has to send from Dodge Center all the way up there to start a church. And my thinking was, well, obviously I missed it because I made inquiries. I looked for some people I had known in town about Bible studies they had started, a former AFCM member, and they weren't doing anything. They had started something but let it go to the wayside. And then I found about Roger and Mel. He called and over to the church I was at in Vergas and announcing they're starting a church, and I just lit up when I was so excited. I'm thinking, well, I missed it, obviously, but at least someone did it. So I just wanted to go over in there and serve and just be a help to that. And I squeamishly shared the vision that I had with them, thinking, yeah, this guy is just an opportunist, and I wasn't. That's the last thing on my mind. My name's Andrew. That means I'll go get my brother and he'll do it. If you know what that comes from Scripture, you understand. I'd rather someone else just do it. I don't want to be the leader. So anyway, God has people in our life that we'll connect with. Roger was my guy with the water pitcher. I didn't know that. I thought he was the guy, but he was the guy with the water pitcher. And God wants us in right places at the right time with the right heart doing the right thing. And there's things that God could be trying to communicate to each and every one of us that we're just blowing off as just insignificant. And they are significant. One of the nine words for sin is to hear amiss. And that word means that when God's talking all the time. He's communicating to us all the time. We have the ability to have our heart burn within us all the time. But it's learning how to be what to be, not fast to speak, but what, slow to speak and quick to hear. We have that ability to hook into God because I don't want to share my punchline yet. So let's turn over to Hebrews. I'm going to give you the cliff notes on it, just a couple of things, just about places. And Abraham is one. Over in Hebrews 11, it talks about Abraham. He offered up Isaac as God's told him, go offer your son up as a sacrifice. Abraham was very familiar with the voice of God. He didn't start saying, get behind me, Satan. He obviously recognized that voice. God had done supernatural things in his life already, and we know from Romans that Abraham knew that God was able to raise from the dead. He had resurrection faith. Hebrews 11:17 says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Though God had promised him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Verse 19, Abraham assumed that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead because he did raise the knife to slay his son on that sacrifice. Now, over in Genesis 22, if you jump over there, I think I'll have you jumping all over the place tonight, today. But over in Genesis 22, I just want to share a couple of verses with you. And again, I'm going to try and keep this as with brevity here, because there's some things I want you to pull out. There's some place I need to get to today. Genesis 22:5. Abraham has been told to go do something, and that's to go sacrifice his son. In verse 5, you see that what Hebrews was talking about. A sudden, Abraham said to this young man, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now, this is a statement he made as they're going to sacrifice his son. So he really did have resurrection faith. He believed that God calls things that are not as though they were, that God could raise from the dead, and that he was speaking to the servant as they're about to go up to this place, and Abraham's about to offer Isaac. Now, jump to verse 13, if you would. Knife's in the air. This is verse 13. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. Abraham's knife is in the air. He's going to kill his son. He's going to sacrifice his son. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And this is where we get the term Jehovah Jireh. It's the only time it's used in the Bible. You know, the one Jehovah's used 5,000 times, and Jireh, I think, is used 1,300 or a little over 1,300 times, but this is the only time that this phrase is they're put together. And God would use names to have people reveal, not just for information, but for impartation to us, for transformation for us to recognize who God is and what he's like. But the interesting thing here is, Abraham's going to sacrifice his son. He's got the knife in the air. God stops him. God never wanted Isaac killed. Never. But what was he doing? He was testing Abraham's faith. Because what would this be? A type? It's a type and shadow of what? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God and Abraham had a covenant. Amen. Well, what did Abraham just prove in his covenant, in that covenant that he was willing to do? Anything, God. Because what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours, or both ways, right? It was a covenant. So what did God now have legal right to do? What was he obligated to do now with his son? Same thing, right? So the door was opened. It was created. Thank God. Abraham was in the right place, wasn't he? Jump up to verse 2. Now, God, Abraham, in that previous verse we just read, he called the place what? The Lord will provide. That's Jehovah Jireh. Again, we understand that term. That's one of the names of God. Lord will provide, right? He didn't call God Jehovah Jireh. He called the place Jehovah Jireh. There's a difference. We're looking for being provided for in life, right? Where we're provided for is the place that will be where the place that God would have us to be. Look at verse 2. Jump up there if you would. And then he said, take now your son. Now listen to the specifics here. It's not vague. It's not indirect. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land Moriah and offer him, where does it say? There. And a burnt offering on one of the mountains for which I shall tell you. So God was not very vague, was he? Take your son, your only son, whom you love. Types and shadows again, right? You know, Abraham loved his son more than anything else, you know, if you look at Scripture. There's no mistaking here what God wants of Abraham, is there? It's like, well, God, maybe I didn't hear you. Maybe it was the pizza I had last night. No, it was very specific. Look at verse 3. This is Abraham's response. That, you know, are we at the place where God says, this is what I want you to do? You'll say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Are we at that place in life? Because if we're not going to be in the right place that we need to be able to enjoy the blessing. And not only that, but then have others be blessed through us. Okay? Verse 3. So Abraham thought about it and prayed for a few days. Is that what it says? No, he rose early. He got to it. It says, in that morning he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place God had told him. He didn't fire up the grill on the back deck to take care of this issue. Right? God told him to go to a place that was 3 days away. Not convenient, right? But do you recognize we are in a covenant that's not a covenant of convenience? We're not, are we? We're in a covenant. It's a covenant of love. So there's no element of hesitation here. Verse 4, Abraham, it says, and then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. There was nothing convenient or comfy about what God told him to do. And there'll be times in our life God will ask us to do something beyond where we're at and what we're comfortable with doing. But did God ask you to do it? Are you willing to do whatever God would have you to do? Aren't you glad he's not going to be asking you to sacrifice one of your kids? That was just for a reason. The covenant what needed to be so we could get Jesus, who would take away the sins of the world. Amen? He would bear all of that. Many prefer convenient love, but we're not in convenient love. That's not where we're supposed to be, obviously. Why was it important what Abraham did? Because of Jesus. True? What if Abraham had decided to obey God 50%? What would have been the result? He would have lifted the knife to kill his son, and what would have not have been in that thicket? There wouldn't have been the sacrifice. And that's all types and shadows, isn't it? Jesus was the who stood in our place. He was the sacrifice. Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus willingly laid down his life. He became the sacrifice for us. He stood in our place. We should have been the ones hanging on that cross. It should have been us. But Jesus was he became our substitute. So Abraham was provided a substitute. So if Abraham would have obeyed 50%, the knife would have went up and the knife would have went down. When we talk about the faithfulness of Abraham, what about the obedience of Abraham? God has something, God has a place for each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. I know where I'm going. You don't. We need to obey God on His terms. Wouldn't that sound like someone who's humble? I'm going to do what You'd have for me to do, God. I'm going to be where You'd have me to be, Lord. Abraham could have said, I don't see any reason why I can't just do this on my hibachi grill on the back, right? Or I guess it's Jew, hibachi stein grill. Do we have the right to dictate to God the terms of our life? Convenient love or covenant love? Jesus had to be in the right place, didn't he? Was that convenient for him? No, sweat and drops of blood, Lord, you know, in the Amplified, when he's in that garden, he's saying, God, all things are possible with You. There's got to be some other way than this. But there wasn't, was there? Nevertheless, Lord, not My will be done, but Yours. Aren't you glad Jesus obeyed? Now, then jump down to verse 15. Jesus is the only way. Thank God for Jesus. Verse 15, Genesis 22. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of the heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. This is where the blessing of being in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time with the right heart comes in. You will be blessed. Isn't that what we want? A good life? We want the abundant life? Amen? John 10:10. We know it's available. But where is it going to be provided? In the place that God would have us to be. Just in that place. Not 50% of the way. You know, Abraham, I so admire what he did. It was not convenient to do what he did, knowing the whole way what he was going to do. I just can't imagine that. Cool things happen when you obey God. Are you willing to do whatever God says? Verse 17, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants. When you obey God, someone else gets blessed. When you obey God, other people end up enjoying that benefit. Your obedience causes other people to be blessed. But people hear amiss. God can give you direction, and you can say, well, I'm nothing. I can sure relate to that one. What have I got to offer? I didn't know why I was supposed to be on Roger's board. Roger was actually on my board at that time. Then God speaks to me, Roger needs to come off your board. And I'm thinking, or Roger wants to come off your board or something like that. I'm thinking, now I'm feeling bad because I'm thinking he doesn't like me. And then he talks to me about the fact, you know, it was really cool how it worked because I recognized God had been talking to him. He's talking to me, but what he wanted was a flip-flop. God wanted me on his board. I'm thinking, what do I have to offer? Who am I? Do you ever tell yourself that? What if God were to say to you, I want you to serve in children's church? I want you to sing. Who am I? So in other words, God, I know better than you. Is that what that means? Isn't that pride? Doesn't God resist the proud? Who does He give grace to? Doesn't know God? God knows what your desires are and what would be the perfect place for you to be. He's not trying to shoehorn you into something that doesn't work. He knows exactly where you will be blessed and you will be a blessing. But if you're not in that place where you can be blessed, because you're not in that place where God provides, where does God provide? In the place that God would have you to be. I'm just so insignificant. You know what that word, that's His word, it's called sin, called hear amiss. God's given you direction, God's given you leading, and He says, I want you to do this. And what do you say? No, I don't speak to people. What have you just done? Resisted God. You missed out. God's going to require things of you that will be bigger than you. I started a church. I'll tell you, the first time I ever had a Bible study, and maybe I'm just wired really goofy. First Bible study, I'm 20 years old. I get born again. I go to my pastor and say, I don't know, you know, I'm jumping up and down. It's like, I want to tell everyone about Jesus. And I go, what's wrong with me? I just want to tell everything that moves about Jesus. And my pastor didn't understand born again, obviously, because he says, well, some people get it, some people don't. So now I walk out of the room going, okay, he can't help me. So what do? I get all my drinking friends and all my bar band playing guys together in a Bible study. I have nothing to share. I just want to do a Bible study. I just want to tell anyone about Jesus. That's all I got to tell them. Jesus loves you. That's all I got. So we're sitting, but here's so cool. We're sitting in my little my living room. My first wife hadn't wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Quit talking about Jesus. Shut your mouth. What is she? She's hiding in the bedroom. So I got all my buddies sitting in the living room, and I have nothing to say, but the power of God comes down. All these guys that have four-letter words in every one of their sentences, and we're literally all sitting around with eyes like this. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We sit there just quiet for the longest time, and one of my friends sits on the couch. I'm sitting here in this chair, but he looks like, what's going on? And I look at him and go, I don't know. No one could deny God showed up, though. So God wanted the Bible study, I guess. But got their attention. Sure got mine. So multiply, blessing comes because someone was in the right place. God spoke the blessing to the person because Abraham was in the right place. Are you in the right place in life? Has God been speaking to you, places he wants you to be? And okay, verse 17, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants. So others are going to get blessed because of your obedience. As the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and with your descendants that shall possess the gates of their enemies. And that sounds like a place of power and position that come because you are in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time with the right heart. Verse 18, and your seed, all the nations, isn't that what we're after? All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed the voice. When you get to that place of obedience, you'll get to the place of provision, you'll get to the place of the blessing, you'll get to the place where you'll bless others, and not only that, not just bless others, but bless many others. Nation sounds like a whole lot, doesn't it? Amen? Amen. I think about the people in my life, they're in the right place at the right time, helping me seem so insignificant. The teacher in school that paid attention to me and put me as a leader in Phi Ed. No one had ever done that before. And all of a sudden I felt someone noticed me, and he brought me out of a shell. Those in church who had a word for me at the right time, just putting their hand on my shoulder. For instance, just putting their hand on my shoulder at times when you're down and just speaking something into your life. Or the little boy that's so freaked out because he blew the prayer that he was supposed to give in church. He vows he's never going to speak a word ever in front of public again. So all he's doing is heading a beeline for the door because he feels the elders are going to come down on him like royal. Because he messed up, and thank the Holy Spirit for hanging on the cross or whatever he did. I mean, he just messed up. But an elder got between him and the door and just put his hands on his shoulder and said, I see great things in you, son. Just melted that boy. Being at the right place at the right time instead of God giving you, I mean, I've seen people that are at the end of the rope, they want to commit suicide. And someone's in that church service recognizing, you know, God wants me to go put my hand on, just give them a hug, or, you know, in praise and worship, just put my hand on their shoulder. And what do? I guess I'll do it. It seems so insignificant, right? But how significant was it? It was a touch. Someone cared. Just one little act. Changed destinies from a little boy who vowed he'd never speak to someone who's now a multinational speaking in front of huge audiences and helping many people. Your little acts of obedience might seem so insignificant. You're serving in a church in some capacity might seem so insignificant and so trivial, like, who needs me? What do I have to offer? But it means everything. It's the place God wants you to be. No other place. Just be there. But God, what about me? I am so inadequate. I'm so unworthy. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter. Because someone's in children's church, your children are blessed. Is that true? Because they're taught, they're being cared for. See, it really gives a fuller meaning of what Jehovah Jireh is all about. We want to look for the blessing, but let's be in the place. And the blessing just happens. The blessing spoken over us. Because a husband cares enough to develop in the fruits of the Spirit, the marriage is blessed. Because the marriage is blessed, the kids start straightening out and recognizing it's a safe place. That a house should be a safe place. All of us are in some place of leadership. All of us are affecting the destiny of others around us. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's just get in that right place. This chapter is the one that has, you know, casting your cares on Him, for He cares for you. We know that. That's in this. This is in that chapter. But there's a whole bunch of context in there that really describes about being in the right place. And in that right place, you're going to have things come against you. They're going to make you, put you in a position where you need to start casting cares on the Lord, because you will have anxieties, you'll have worries, you'll have frustrations because of it. And what are all those things presented as to you? As bad feelings. But the context of this chapter is everyone needs to be in their place. If you look at first, I'm just going to, again, Cliff's Notes. I didn't go to college, but Cliff's Notes means that we're going to take the short version. If you look at first, I'm just going to go through this very quickly. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2, he's talking to the leaders, the top leaders in the church. And some of the things he's instructing them there is that to shepherd, that means to lead, it means to feed, to guide, and protect. And I know you've been taught well on that in this church. It means, and he also says, to be an overseer, which means that you assume responsibility and you exercise authority. And then it goes on, and not to be under compulsion. It means you're not being forced into doing anything, but you're going to do it with a heart that's just this cheerful heart. 1,500 churches are failing a month right now. Out of the three ministers' meetings, I was just at, two of the groups were not too positive. I mean, we had pastors that are really hurting because they have cares and they have anxieties and they have frustrations, and they're trying to handle it in their own strength. I mean, burnout is really an issue of someone who's not talking to God. You get burnout, you're not talking to God. If you've got relationships that are strained, you're not talking to God. God has an answer. Doesn't it say He gives us liberal wisdom whenever we lack it? God wants you strong, people. He wants you so strong that you can look at any trial or temptation, which many are of them, right? Various trials we fall into, and what does He say? Count it all joy. Your trial should be strengthening you, because at any time you can call out to God and say, God, what's the problem? I'm not seeing it correctly. And that'll help you endure, and you get to the place to recognize the good gifts are coming from Him, that He's not your problem, He's your source. He wants you to be strong. And what's the result? Being perfect and complete, lacking no good thing, because you gave endurance a chance to work in your life. In other words, you were in the right place. Mark chapter 4 describes a bunch of people that they receive the word with joy, right? But things start happening that make them back off, right? Cares, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, offended. Dun, dun, dun. Offended. How many people sit in a church, God asks them to do something, stand behind here? Maybe it's the top leader group, the first part of chapter of Peter. Peter, pumpkin eater. The first part of Peter. You're a leader. But what are you thinking? No, I saw how they chewed up my last pastor. There's no way you're going to get me to pastor. My wife's line before she met me was, I'd never marry a pastor. You should never say never. Or you just are so hung up on the fact of your inadequacies. And I'm talking to myself, because I was there. Me? I want to be the wallflower. I'm Andrew. I need a brother. Let's go get him. Let's get Mikey. He'll do it. Offended. You know what happens when you're offended? You don't get to 30, 60, 100 fold. Where does God want you? 30, 60, 100 fold. God wants you in certain places. Some people are wondering why things aren't working in life, because they've been offended. They've pulled back. deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, cares of this world entering in. Satan comes for one reason, because of the word. He doesn't want the word working. God gave you a word to be someplace and do something. You receive it with joy. You step out to do it. Something happens you don't like, don't expect. You get offended. You pull back. And what ends up happening? You're not in good ground anymore, are you? We're supposed to run the race to win, right? Laying aside all the weights and the sin, which is weariness, if you look at the context, we're supposed to lay all that stuff aside. Because what? God needs us running to what? A certain place in life. He has goals for us. We're supposed to run towards the mark, Corinthians talks about, 1 Corinthians 9, right? Because God needs us in certain places. Because if you're not in that place, you're going to wonder why you're going to have things in your life. Just like Abraham, he raised the knife and God supernaturally was there. The supply was there, provision was there, the blessing was there, and then you were able to bless other people. See how just all, it is a big deal when you do little things because God gave you the direction. One woman, she's standing in the kitchen wishing, she's left-handed, wishing she had a left-handed carrot peeler, whatever they call those things. Peeler? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And she go, boy, it'd really be nice if I had one. And all of a sudden, knock, 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 a woman stands, someone from the church stands there, and she goes, she's standing at the door, and she goes, I was at the grocery store, and I just didn't understand, but God told me to buy you a left-handed carrot peeler. What do you think that did for that woman's faith? God cares enough about a carrot peeler? Yes. He numbered the hairs on our head, right? So, leaders again. Shepherd, lead, feed, guide, protect. Assume responsibility. Exercise authority. Don't do it under compulsion because your arm's being twisted. Do it because there's joy in it. Thank God for it. Do it eagerly and do it cheerfully. And then verse 3, it goes on to say, nor as being lords over those entrusted you. But what happens when all of a sudden someone comes from a church where they've been lorded over? You know what they come in and they see the next pastor as? Lord number 2. It's like, don't come near me. Will I serve? No. They come into church the very last minute. Church is over. They're the first ones out. Or how about this? I'm just so busy. You know what busy people are setting themselves up for? No one's going to ask me to do something if I'm just busy all the time. Right? So, verse 3, leaders are supposed to be, you know, that we're supposed to be examples. Why? Because more people are watching. Is that true? We got the bigger bullseye. Pastors do that. And what is the big deal? You take out a pastor, what do? You take out someone who's been in a place of influence. True? Versus, you know, cutting a limb off versus cutting the trunk. You take a pastor out, you can take a whole bunch of people out with you too. So they got to be an example. Influence, you can influence many people, and there's spiritual influence and effectiveness. God wants us in all those places. You know, Paul's thorn, people wonder, he could teach him to be humble. It had nothing to do with teaching Paul to be humble. That thorn was came, that messenger of Satan, which it says it is, was sent to do one thing, to keep him from being effective, to keep him from being an influence. That's the only reason. Since when does Satan want to humble anyone? Because what happens before honor? Humility. So what would humble get Paul? Exalted, wouldn't it? What happens before a fall? Pride. So what would have Satan loved more than anything? Not humility, getting Paul into humility, but getting him into pride. So again, that he be gloried above measure, or however it puts there when it talks about Paul's thorn, really had to deal with this, that Paul would be put in an even greater place of influence. That's really what Satan was trying to do, is to keep back the influence, keep him back from being effective. That's what God wants to do to all of us. Verse 4. 1 Peter 5, 4, and then the Christ shepherd, chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Thank God there's a reward for what we're doing. That's part of the, you know, we're running to the marks of our life, you know, the prize of the mark. We run to the next mark, then we go to the next one. We're making that progress. We're getting to the places God would have us to be. Now, verse 5, here's where it starts. We just talked to the top leaders. Now we're going to talk to the lower ranks. So everyone's got a place. Leaders are supposed to be in this place. Now the ones that are the leaders and the followers, I mean, that's a good way to put it. Leaders and followers all have a place to be because he uses the word likewise, or you could say equally. So as solemn and as sober as what I'm about to tell you leaders, now he's saying as solemn and sober am I going to tell you followers. Everyone has a place. Everyone has some significance, something they should be doing, and many hands make light work. We can get the job done when we stand together. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So just as equal as a heavier responsibility, just as it's supposed to, the three things that followers are supposed to do, submit to elders. But what if you've been burned by elders? What will you do? Throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Submit to elders, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. Submit, submissive, and humility. What's the result if we don't? God resists the proud. God gives you direction in life. Not sometimes it's not going to be convenient. But he did give us the directions, right? He is Father, right? Son, go take the garbage out. Does a dad have a right to do that? Does that mean the son is being cruelly treated? So here, this chapter is telling everyone how to be in their place. So what is God telling you? What has God spoken to you? It might seem so insignificant, but it's not insignificant. It's huge. Because if you're not in the place, someone's not going to be blessed. Someone's going to be missed. 7% of the church tithes. 93% of the church doesn't tithe. 25 churches are operating on average about 25% of the budget they should be. And then we're wondering about, are we cursed if we don't tithe? Is tithing under the law? Well, no, it was actually 400 years before, so that's not an issue. Abraham gave it as an act of faith, not because it was any law to do it. He just gave it as an act of faith. But let me ask a question. Why do we make it all about us? If 93% of the church isn't tithing and there's missionaries out in the field that now are not getting support, what do? They got to come off the field because there's not money to be able to preach the gospel that we believe saves. They got to come back to raise support. And we want to make it all about us being cursed or not. When there's people out there who are not hearing the gospel, and how can they hear unless a preacher be sent, right? So even what might seem so insignificant for money in your hand, the gospel's free, but it takes what to get there? Bling bling, right? It takes some money to get it out there, amen? And he's given the power to create wealth so his covenant may be established. So little things really do matter. First, going on here. Why would God give us all this instruction? You know where God wants you? He wants to be able to give grace to you. Wasn't that charisma, the equipping? He has things he wants to deposit in your life. Verse 6 then. Now understand, Peter's not changing the subject. The subject still is being in the right place. Doing your right thing at the right time with the right heart. Heart means everything to God. You can sing all the songs you want, but if your heart can be far from him, right? You can smile at everybody and thinking bad thoughts inside, right? You know, not pulling a gun's murder to God, thinking the thoughts are murder. Not committing the act of adultery, but thinking the act. Lust, right? God takes everything back to the heart. Verse 6, he hasn't changed the subject. It's about being in the right place. Therefore, humble yourselves, because he's talking about being humble, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So put it this way, from top to bottom people, whether you're the top group in Peter that's leaders or the top bottom group, or the last part of the chapter, which are the followers, everyone just get in their place. Everyone just do the job, and then we can be a blessing eventually, not just to some people. Be blessed, be blessing to people, but blessing to all the nations. 7, it hasn't changed the subject, still being in your right place. Casting the whole of your care, all of your things, this is amplified. Casting all of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all for him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. He hasn't changed the subject. You will have opportunity to be offended. You'll be an opportunity to see things in yourself that you don't like, and therefore you'll pull back because you don't like what things about yourself. You'll think you're inadequate. You'll think you're unworthy. And now we're getting into my territory. I love this stuff. There's things in you that when God gives you the call, what's your response? I know so much what that's like because God would give me direction. It's like, no. You don't know me that well. Excuse me. Many called into positions of leadership in the body of Christ, but they're not there. Many people are being affected by that act because they see themselves as inferior. They saw what happened to the former pastor. Many are called to be followers in the body of Christ, but they're not there. If you're just coming to church to receive, thanks for coming. That's not a problem here, right? That's not the issue here. But, and I'm not going to tell you what you need to do except one thing. God, anything. What is that called? One of the seven types of prayer or so is prayer of dedication and consecration. Lord, send me. There was a time in my life I wouldn't say that because I was sure that if I said it, I would be in the Amazon. I didn't want to go to the Amazon because a creature from the Black Lagoon was there, and I didn't want to go there. I was very young at the time. Still don't like the creature from the Black Lagoon, though. So God's telling, God can be giving you direction, and what are you doing with it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's silly. I'm not going to talk to people. Lead a small group? Yep, right. What did I just do? S-I-N. I heard a miss. God's speaking. What am I doing with it? Brushing it off as a nuisance. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. People have a real problem with silence in our culture. Because God wants to teach you to listen to Him. Because here's the issue. If you ever get to a place where you say, God, where do you want me to go? Amazon? Oh. Or I'm not going to ask the question because I don't want to go to the Amazon. What do you need to do at that point? Say, God, I'm afraid that if I tell you I'll do anything, you're going to put me in a bad place. Duh. Wouldn't that make sense? Because what am I just bumped up against? God wants me to do something, and what am I telling Him? All my cares and anxieties and fears, why I can't. So what do I need to do? God, show me. I need the wisdom right now. Why I am resistant to what You're telling me to do. I know this is You. He's a still small voice. There's a lot of voices out there. He doesn't compete with any of them because He speaks from within here. So it doesn't matter how loud it is out here. Still small voice. But be what? Quick to hear. He wants to teach you to listen because He's got things. He needs you in certain places. This church you're part of. Thank God you're here. But there's things in this church that need to be done in the leadership positions and the followers' positions. And if someone's not doing it, someone else is going to have to try and do it in your place, and it might not get done as good as you could have done in the first place. Right? Fields are white unto harvest. Many, 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 many are called. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. But few don't know. That's silly. No, I saw what they did to my former pastor. No, my last pastor, he was a real tyrant. He lorded over people. I don't trust men. I mean, this is stuff I've run into. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. I've been in a church where I had a couple of women in that church that were so burnt because they were so treated so bad. And what does that speak of? Wounds. W-O-U-N-D-S, wounds. And they're real. Those wounds happen. Life will abuse us. Life will hurt us. But what will we do with those things? Take them to God so He can do what? Heal them? Because it's not what we've gone through that causes our problem. You've heard me say that here. It's been a few, I guess it's been a while. But it's what we believe to be true about ourselves that causes our issues. So if you've got junk inside of you that's going to make you actually be resist God, what's God going to have to do? Resist you. But what is His desire? That's not His desire. He wants to give grace to you. He wants to pour things into your life so you can be an influence. You can be blessed in what you're doing. And you know, it's so awesome to help people. You know how awesome it is to see people changed? It's incredible. It's incredible joy. And we get to all be a part of that if we want. And we can be blessed, bless others, and bless many, bless the nations. All right, here's the word for cares. You need to put the clock back there, Roger. Getting whiplash. Greek word for care means three things. Distractions, to be drawn away in different directions, or to disunite. That's from the Greek. Distractions can keep you out of the right place. A lot of stuff happens in life. Life can become a distraction. Your house can become piles of good intentions. So it's a mess, but you had a good intention in making the mess in the first place. Running in, drop the pile, run out. Running in, drop the pile, run out. If we got messes in life, that means when things are not in balance. God will speak into that too. He has an answer for everything in life. And he's there to give you an answer now, not 10 years later. Not thick, 3-inch thick calluses on your knees 3 years later. I mean, just talk to God at any time. If you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you at any time. We can be distracted with things. We can feel drawn to do many things in life. And there's a lot of good things in life, but not everything is a God thing. Right? There's a difference. Be honest with yourself. You can keep yourself so busy that people just never bother asking you to do things because of why? You're afraid you will be asked or just don't want to be committed. You've been burned in the past, so you don't want to be asked. You can be offended, so you're not in that place that where you've had the word with joy, but if you're selfish, what happens when you get your eyes on yourself? What happens when you show, your face shows the evidence, shows what you believe to be your evidence. Faith is evidence of things not seen. If you got a frumpy, down face, what does that show that you're looking at it for evidence? You've got a happy idol. I will be happy when, and fill in the line, right? If you've got the down face, that means you've got a happy idol. You've put something else in your happy equation besides you and God, right? And if you're selfish, what's going to be the result? You got your eyes on yourself. You got your eyes on yourself. All of a sudden, you can realize you can't satisfy yourself. So what do you start doing? You'll start looking for other things to satisfy yourself. And all of a sudden, you're playing with things you shouldn't be playing and touching the untouchable, which shouldn't be touched, right? Make sense? All right, I'm going to preach to the choir. They're saying more amens than you. Oh! Distractions, being drawn away to disunite. Things that will keep you from being connected to the family that this is. Your little part. It's a big part. Do what you can do. And what is it? It's only one thing. God, what is it? Are you at that place in life where you say, God, what you have me to do? What a pure place to be. What an awesome place to be. What would you have me to do? And whatever he says, I'll do it. Now, says he asks you to do something that's beyond you, or that you've seen, you got to get through your issue that you saw a pastor chewed up before, or you got to get past the issue of someone who was lording over you. You know what you do at that point? It's like, God, I'll be honest with you. I'm really scared about this because I've seen what happens, and that really is, that's all I can think about when you told me to do this. You know what God will give you? Entrance of the word brings light. Perfect peace. As Roger prayed at the beginning. He's got things to tell you that will help you cast down those vain imaginations that have exalted themselves above the knowledge. Here God's giving you direction, and what are you doing? You've got things in you that are exalted above it right now. They've become a stronghold in your life. What's a stronghold? It means you're not making progress. What's a stronghold? That means you're going to stay offended, so you're not 30, 60, 100 fold. You're going to stay stuck in lust and deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. They're going to choke you, choke the word, and you're not going to make that progress. God wants us all at that 30, 60, 100 fold, making that progress in life. I don't have time to serve. Okay, that's fine, but I'll ask this question. Did God tell you to serve? Are you doing what God told you to do? Isn't that pretty straightforward? And then you have all the list of reasons why you can't. Well, reasons are based on truth. Excuses are based on lies. So you have all these excuses. Jesus inviting everyone to the banquet. Well, I just bought some land. I just bought a cow. Do we have excuses why we're not serving? Why don't we just get honest with ourselves and say, God, you told me to do it. I don't want to do it. What's God going to do? You're going to hear on the other end, not talking to you anymore? No, he's going to say, I'm glad we're being honest with each other. Right? Let's have a conversation, son. Let's have a conversation, daughter. There's some things I want to show you because you're being robbed right now. Your family is going to be robbed right now. Because sometimes it's more you'd catch what's being done more than what's being taught. In the home, that's important, mothers and dads. Right? Do they see your heart of God? It's open. Anything. I'll do anything you want me to do. You know what the cool part is then when you're doing what God told you to do, you've got confidence you would not believe. You've got a quietness inside. You have an assurance inside. You're no longer feeling dissatisfied because you're not trying to satisfy yourself because you're selfish. And now it's like, God, This is such a sweet place to be. Sleep through the night. People come at you with four different things to do, and you say, no, God told me to do this. But if you don't do the this, you know what you'll do? Get busy with the four other things. God didn't want you in the four other things. He wants you to do this one thing. Well, God, it's scary. I got some truth for you, son. Lies are the only thing that's standing between us and doing what God would have us to do if we've got resistance. That's the most powerful thing in your life then. But what's more powerful than a lie? And what will the truth do to you? Indeed. Won't it? Cast down all those vain imaginations, all those things that have exalted themselves above the knowledge of God. Taking every thought into obedience to Christ, amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of those strongholds. The only thing that's holding back a perfect being, which we are, if we're new creatures, right? False identity, lies. The only thing between you and the desired results. You want the desired results, but God's got some things He needs to do within your life to get you in certain places so you can have those desired results. Does that make sense? Take care of the lies that would get you into that certain place, because we still want the desired results, and we can spend all our life trying to get the desired results but not being in the place and wondering, we're so frustrated, why can we never get the results, but not listening to God and resisting Him because He's resisting us but still wanting the results. You get the point? Quit hammering it, Andy. We get it already. See, our problem comes down to this. I have a belief about me. If we're resisting, this comes down to it. I have a belief about me, God, and you say, okay, God, you're telling me to do something, and I'm not excited about it. I'm scared. So the problem is with me. I have a problem, Lord. I have a belief about me. Can you show me where this is coming? Theory of mind comes from psychiatry. I love their study. I hate their conclusions. But one thing they have is they say the theory of mind says that up to 98% of what's driving the decisions you make comes from your subconscious. And an unrenewed mind, you know what that means? That means that 98% of you still believes that you're the sum total of your existence. Selah. Up to 98% of you can still believe, without talking to God, that you're the sum total of your existence. Is that true anymore, believers? God is your existence now, isn't He? 98% when you want to, all of a sudden someone asks you to do something, all of a sudden you feel this, you don't like the feelings. Oh, worry, anxiety, cares. And what are we supposed to do? Context of 1 Peter chapter 5 again, get in the right place. And God asks you to get in your right place, leaders, followers, what's going to be a result? There are going to be things that are stirring inside of you and you're going to go, ooh. So what do you want to do? Because you have this feeling out of the subconscious, you don't even understand it. I used to walk in a store to buy something, look at the thing for about 5 minutes and walk out and not buy it. Going, what's wrong with me? I couldn't figure out what's going on. I'd have dreams at night, over and over again. Oh, Lord, why? Finally, I said, Lord, why? And listened. Right? Instead of, it's kind of rude when you ask God a question not to let Him talk, right? Hee-haw. Yeah. Well, God had something to say. Oh, you like, yeah? God has a place for you. Ephesians 4, we know that. The body's going to grow because everyone's doing their work, right? Ephesians chapter 4. So whatever your gifts, whatever your talents, God's got a place for you. He's got a place for you, believe me. No one gets to be the fat cells in the body of Christ. Someone's homebound, they got a mind and they got a mouth. They can pray. Intercessory. Right? See, think about it. You are in control. You are a sovereign being. Scripture would bear that out. Galatians 6, 9. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. You make the choice, don't you? I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Cheat, answer. Choose life, choose blessing. Right? Romans 5, 17. Even the Amplified. Did you reign in life as a king? What is a king? King's a sovereign. He makes the calls. He calls the shots. In the word of a king, there's power. If I have spoken, so shall it be done, right? And we're living with what we have chosen to believe. May not be what we desire. 98% subconscious, remember? We might not be living what we desire, but we are living what we believe. Now I feel like Mike Murdock and Wisdom Nuggets, tearing all these little thoughts here. But so it might not be our desire, but it's always our choice. We can be stuck on stupid. That's Galatians 6:1 Christianity. Knowing what's available in the Christian life, knowing how good God is in the abundant life, and wondering why you're not there. Being stuck on stupid is when God's speaking to you and you having the audacity to say, no, that's stupid. That's pride. Reverse pride. It's not the fact that you're going to get up here and look mighty man. It's the fact that I might look bad. Who? I, right? I might look bad. Well, it's not about you anyway, is it? Praise the Lord. Skip, skip, skippity-doo-dah. Verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We'll go on. Still the same subject. Be in your right place, at the right time, doing the right thing with the right heart. God can do something through a right heart, whose heart's fully His. You know the cool part about it? I used to read scriptures like this. Have a pure conscience, and I go, I'd go like this. Oh, I wish I could be there. Or, God gives those things, to, you know, giving good things to us, who diligently seek Him, and I go, ooh, maybe I'm not diligent enough. God has answers for that stuff too, people. Do you know that? God, how come you tell us that you've purified my conscience, but I still feel guilty? God has answers. He'll show you the lie you believe. That's not might not giving you the desires, but you're living the result of it. 1 Peter 5:8. He goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. May is a permission word, isn't it? Right? May I go to the bathroom, right? May is a permission word. Some he may, and some he may not. Some are given permission for him to do it, and some are not given permission to be devoured. Amen? He's defeated, isn't he? Sober means serious, sensible, and solemn. Be serious. This is serious stuff. We all have a place to, because there's lives are being affected, people. There's people around us that need what we have to give. Me serving in children's church is going to affect the world, affect the nations? Yeah. How about that for a statement? Yes, it will. Someone being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right heart. Vigilant means focus, the act of concentrating interest or activity on something. So in other words, forget all the good things. What are the God things God wants me to do? What is it that you want me to do, Lord? I will do it. You want me to do that? Okay, now you got me freaked out. God, show me where this is coming from. Talk to me about why I'm... What lie in me would be so big that you telling me that doesn't bring me joy, but it brings me fear? Because obviously you don't bring fear. His word brings faith, right? So it's my fear, the beliefs in me that are rising up and want to resist. So, praise the Lord. I just wrote down some places God has for us. What about your attitude? Can that person's attitude stink? Can it? What about in relationships? Does God have a places for you to be there? Some might be strained. God's not into strained relationships. For instance, I had a little boy that I've just dealt with recently. His biological mother was abusive, and her boyfriend was abusive. And it's interesting because there's some, you know, I always pray for my children in the church and in my church. It says, God delivers from wicked and unreasonable people because I want my kids protected. And this little boy was talking, and I recognized, because I came from a dad I hardly ever saw. It's like one of those weird things. If you're not talking to God, you're going to be all flipped out because he's your dad, but you never see him. But you want to have a dad, but you never see him. You want to love him, but you don't. He's not there, so how do you love him? He's not there. You understand the swirl of emotions that can be in there? Well, this little boy's sitting down, and God tells him, you need to break contact with your biological mother, the little seven-year-old kid. I love talking to little kids and have them tell me what God's telling them because it's way beyond their years. It's wisdom beyond their years. It's totally God. And to see the peace that comes in their life is so incredible to see that. And I recognize that God needed to get him into a place where he didn't feel he was responsible to put himself in a bad place because that was his mother. That makes sense? So he was protecting that child. God has words for us. Now, that type of relationship was God delivers from wicked and unreasonable people. That was a relationship with a biological mother that God said separate from. But in general, if relationships are strained, God's not in that. There's something in there that's happened. That means there's something that's not right, not in the right place. What's the best thing we could do in that place? Father, I need some help. I got hurt. I got offended. I stepped away from being in the place I needed to be, possibly. Or maybe God would say, you need to step away for a while. But you recognize who's giving you the direction. It's not a pastor. It's not your friends. It's God Himself giving you the direction. God, right now, this relationship's not in a good place. What do I do? And you know, if God gives you the directions, you know what happens when you get the water? What do you get with the water? You get the wet too, right? So when God gives you the direction, no, just stay where you're at. You're fine. You've got faith now. Now you have confidence because you know I'm doing what God told me to do. Or I had one person that really dirtied on my family and my church. And God warned me about an exam in advance, and I didn't understand the warning all that much, but He said, she can't trust you because she can't trust herself. I thought, well, that's an interesting statement. Then I found out why He told it to me. But it was so awesome. I'm talking to God about it, thinking as a pastor, okay, what did I do wrong that she would actually become this evil? See, you know what abuse does to us? It makes us feel like we're at the fault. What was I doing? God, what could I have done to make her so evil? What did the kids with going through divorce think? Must be my fault. How abuse makes the abused feel like it's their fault? Well, the cool part about it, I asked God why I felt what I did, and God said, it's not your fault. And He said, reminded me of that. He said, she can't trust you because she can't trust herself, that she's just jealous of some things or in the ministry. And it made all the sense in the world, and all of a sudden I'm not feeling the load of that anymore. I'm recognizing, thank you, Lord. You know, I'm in a place as a pastor, and I got to be careful I say this because I want to sound prideful, and I don't want to sound prideful, but I know I'm doing exactly what God's telling me to do. I've done everything. This is what He said to me. He said, I was talking to Him. I was like, God, am I missing something? It's like I could never relax. I was like hypervigilance all the time. Everything in order. My kids okay. The church okay. And I was like, God, if there's something I'm missing, you know what? You know, trying to sit down a lazy boy thinking like that, you never sit down. He's like, let's see. Maybe I missed something. But God told me, relax. He said, you've done everything I've told you to do. And you're walking in all the light you have. Does that reveal a person who doesn't know everything yet? I don't. But I'm no longer upset about the glass that's empty and even part that's empty anymore. You know what I'm thankful for? The part I've got filled up. And my cup's going to run over. So I'm growing. We're all growing. So I'm going to be in the place God has me to be. And then He said this. He blew my religious circuits when He said this to me. Thank you. I couldn't believe He thanked me. God thanking me. So now when someone comes and said, you're in a library. We're meeting in a library, by the way. You're in a library. You need a sign. You need a big building. In other words, they need me to be okay so they can be okay. You have people like that in your life? A mom or a dad? They want to tell you how it should be? Because they need you to be okay so what? They can be okay. So what's that speaking of more? About your issues or theirs? Of course, if you go like this and they're doing that to you and you go, meow, then you have issues too. They push the button, right? But you supplied the button. Get rid of the button. In other words, be in your place. God's got some awesome things. If you're in that place, you can be in that Jehovah Jireh place where the Lord will provide. He'll have good things for you. You'll be blessed because of it. Blessed, you'll be a blessing. And you not only many people will be blessed, but many will be blessed. The world will be blessed. Just because you did one thing, God, what would you have me to do? I don't care what it is. And then maybe it's going to be in relationships that you've shied away from or doing things, or maybe you've allowed yourself to get distracted. It's really easy to get distracted, right? I got a relative whose TV's on all the time, 24/7, because they can't stand one thing, the silence. Can we be that way? Or we get pulled away, drawn away from other directions. All of a sudden, work becomes a big deal. In other words, we start using work as an excuse not to be as faithful as we used to be. Now, if I'm stepping on toes, talk to God about it, okay? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if I'm here because I know I need to be, I know what God put on my heart, and I'm sharing what God gave me to give you. If I'm stepping on toes, you need it. I've dealt with women on some of their issues as far as abuse and stuff like that, and I make a lot of them cry, and I've got accused of liking making women, girls cry. No, I just like seeing the freedom that comes on the other side because it's a lot of junk you've been holding in and not dealing with, and God has some peace, and the peace comes, and you can be so emotionally worn out, but God's so good. God is so good. He's got liberal wisdom for you every time you ask the question, and you'll pour it into your life. Believe that He's got it for you, because it says don't ask in faith, and when He gives it to you, do it. Don't be a hearer only, right? God's got a place for us in our attitudes and our relationships, as far as our level of faithfulness, as far as our spirituality, as far as our finances, as far as our service. I mean, that's the ones I thought of so far. So, just go ahead and bow your eyes. Is that what you said that one time? Bow your eyes and close your head? All right. Sounds like a good hippie drug trip. All right. Bow your heads, please, if you would. Lord, I thank You that You've got places for every one of us. And maybe some of us have been in a place of complacency and You want us in fervent, that You do want us hot or cold. We can be in a place of half-heartedness and You want total commitment, because You want us in that 30, 60, 100-fold. You want us in that place where You provide. You want us where You're pouring grace into our life, not having to resist us. Maybe we've been in a place of strife and You want us in a place of unity. Maybe we've been in a place of passivity or inactivity, and You want us to be active, just doing what You'd have us to do. Be found faithful. Faithful in what You have for us to do. Maybe we've been in a place of selfishness and You want us in a place of generosity, Lord. Father, to be in that place You'd have us is a place where the provision is going to be released. So, Lord, I'm just going to ask the question. There's things in our life where we've got the complacency, we've got the half-heartedness, the lack of commitment, the walls built up. You just show, just speak to us if there's things that we're leaving aside. We've left our first love. Just be so honest with God that your heart, and you can just see it opening up. Everything, nothing being held back, just totally open before Him, totally transparent. What a way to live. So awesome to live in peace and quietness and confidence and transparent. Just your heart totally open, because everything's open and laid bare anyway before Him. But God, anything in here, anything you don't like, anything you wish you were different, Lord, show me. Now, He might have things that could cause you to have some anxiety raise up, but what does He do? Cast your care on Him. Start talking to God about it. Start telling Him, Lord, You're telling me to do something that I can't see myself doing. You know what God will give you? Truth. What does the truth do to a lie? Shows it to be the paper tiger it really is. There's no power in the lie. Once the truth enters in, the light switch comes on, the darkness has to leave and can't argue about it. Lie can't stick around any longer. The light switch comes on when the entrance of the Word comes. He's got words to speak into you. He's got words to lead and guide you. It's a mature Christian who can be led by the Spirit of God. It's actually a mature Christian who's also a peacemaker. Ones who's restoring relationships, not the ones that have been torn down. Relationships that are not where they need to be. Abraham didn't make that journey, the three-day journey, just for his benefit. You know that, right? You being in the place you're supposed to be is not just for your benefit alone. It's also for many people. And it's going to be, you'll be amazed. Like that song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." I'm alive and now because You obeyed. You were in the place You needed to be. People are going to be affected. You can think, why me? Why little old me? I'm so insignificant. I'm too afraidy cat. No, let God speak into that those lies, because they're robbing you. They're keeping you from being everything you want to be, everything you dream to be. And they're keeping you from enjoying the blessing of seeing other people blessed because of you being obedient. And then also being a part of the big picture, what we're here all to do, get that gospel preached. Amen. Now, I'm just going to share something with you in closing. Closing number one. Who's who? It says in Proverbs 28:20, I've carried this with me for years, but it says, I might have shared it here before, but it says, a faithful man will abound in blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. And, you know, if we're faithful, God will take care of you. Right? We know that. God can do things for a faithful man he can't do for anyone else. Amen. You can be content with what God has for you today. So don't belittle your role. If you find yourself belittling your role, find out why. Because God thought it big enough and important enough to ask you to do it, right? So in other words, we're missing something. We're not seeing it from God's viewpoint. God, help me see what you asked me to do from your viewpoint. Why is this so significant? Otherwise, you're going to grow weary. You're going to grow faint in your mind. You're going to end up giving up. That's not good either. Matt, this scripture here, Matthew 19:29 says, "And not only for you, Jesus speaking, but anyone who sacrifices home, family, fields, whatever, because of me will get it all back 100 times over, not to mention the considerable bonus of eternal life." Talking about this life and the life to come then, right? Here's from the Who's Who. You know the book Who's Who? That big book with people who are important? Here's the stats for getting into that book. If you come from a blue-collar family, you have a 1 out of 25,000 chance to get in there. That's a blue-collar family. If you come from a white-collar family, you have a 1 out of 10,000 chance to get in there. And this is incredible. Listen to this. This again, the scripture says, "Not only you, but anyone who sacrifices home, family, fields, whatever, because of me will get it back 100 times over, not to mention a considerable bonus of life, eternal life." Again, blue-collar family, 1 out of 25,000 chance of getting in the Who's Who. White collar, 1 out of 10,000 chance. If you come from a missionary family, if you're children of a missionary, you have a 1 out of 7 chance of getting in that book. 1 out of 7. Who's in that? God Almighty, watching over His Word, quick to perform it, making sure that if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in much. A faithful man will abound in blessing. Your gift will make room for you. But Lord, I don't like the gift. I don't like what I'm doing. Talk to God about it. Find out why you're resisting Him, because He doesn't want to resist you. 1 out of 7 chance. What a heritage to leave, huh? Are you doing everything God asked you to do? I hope you can say yes. I can say yes. And I don't want to sound braggadocious, but God just showed that to me. It's so relaxing. I can actually finally sit down on a lazy boy. A lot of people are struggling to get into rest. I'm in rest, and when I start stepping out, I labor to get back in. Some people don't have rest. They're always stirred. My mind used to be like this all the time. But who helped me with that? Prince of Peace. Great is your peace because you're taught of Him. Perfect is your peace because your mind stayed upon Him. Peace means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing stirring. It's so good to have that quietness. Be quiet and confident. It's good to have purity. Does that mean I don't run up against them? So all of a sudden, junk comes to the surface. You know what pressure does in life? Puts heat on, the impurities come to the surface. Like, you, I don't like that, God. We better talk about that. That happens all the time with me. Like, okay, now I realize that's wrong. Okay, I don't feel too good about that. I didn't know that yesterday, but now I know. Pressure, God wants to use pressure to strengthen us. That's why we can call it all joy. Instead of like the rest of the world who wants to hide from it and